Good morning. Today is Monday, May the 22nd. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods, Marty Quello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. And you brought along a volunteer captive?
Yes. Our Dean of Career Technical Education, Marla Gleave.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, lady. Why is Marla here, Marty?
Well, because career technical education is extremely important, not only in the district, but in Humboldt and Del Norte counties as a whole.
Okay. Then that sets up our quotes. Yeah. Kind of hook them and then reel them in slow. Our quote this morning comes from Hannah Arendt. Storytelling reveals meaning without committing the error of defining it. So, Marla. Marty's just got a big question mark on his forehead. We'll let him reflect on that one for a while. Career tech, and I suppose that's the new phraseology. New being a 30-year-old reference. Okay, probably closer to 40 now. Of the old HROP at the high school level, vocational education, career, blah, all that. Doing real things.
Yes.
Instead of academic things.
Yes.
What got your interest in that area?
Well, actually, I've been dean for 3 years, and I came over from health and physical education, so I actually had zero connection to career and technical education. Isn't that how most administration happens?
That's probably very healthy.
Well, it was a fresh face, right?
Yeah.
So it's very much hands-on. And the academic side, you could do hands-on straight to workforce, or you could choose some of the programs where you could actually transfer and go on to a four-year institution.
Do you feel, probably shouldn't ask this one in front of Marty, do you feel that there's a tension between the college-bound four-year postgraduate areas, whether it's funding or just classroom access, that things of that nature, and the career tech?
I don't know if I call it tension. I think sometimes it's the understanding of the need for immediate training into the workforce and the different avenues that career and technical takes for that immediate training compared to also having the transfer courses to lead to degree. A lot of people think it's just immediate train go, where we have transfer areas in business, manufacturing, tech, forestry. And so we have a blend of everything. I think sometimes it's people understanding how it all connects together to the, and we try not to say academic side, vocational side, we try and blend it together. But I think it's more educating people on the different pathways that exist.
Marty, how about for you? Is it tough to, more from the administrative side, see that there are, it's one instead of two?
For me personally, no. I think that education is made up of all sorts of different pathways that folks can take. And honestly, if career technical education is probably taken an even higher priority in today's day and age, especially in Humboldt and Del Norte counties, where our businesses are in great need of a skilled workforce.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marla Gleave and Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Marla, what is the biggest misnomer people have got about career tech in general? maybe not on campus, in society?
You know, I think right now the misnomer is over the years, oh my gosh, we didn't pay enough attention. And now we have to pay attention because we're having this lack of skilled workforce coming in. And we need to start focusing back on career in tech. I think that there's always been cycles at the college level around the country. Transfer rates, four-year degrees are what you need. You want to get ahead, you want to be middle class or above, four-year. But when you start looking at salaries and where some of the money is at, things are starting to go back into the career technical side. And you can make very decent money coming out of a two-year degree where you have the technical background.
How do you, or how does the college identify what areas of emphasis ought to be available for folks to take training in?
We do labor market analysis, and so through our regional consortia, if there's any program that comes in new to any college in the state, from a CTE standpoint, you have to show labor market need in order for that program to be approved locally as well as at our state chancellor's office.
So you can't just get a wild hair and go,
can't just,
ding.
Nope. And what we do, because we sit at many community talking events and people want different things. And so we actually try and see where it fits, because workforce training is needed, sometimes immediate for a displaced worker. And so we look at ways it might fit within
the existing structure.
Yeah, yeah, existing structure. So maybe it's a community education where we can create a course, we can create something right away and workforce train. Perhaps it's non-credit and it's a few hours over time, or maybe it deserves to be either credit, or maybe it's enough of a change where our current curriculum through our faculty and advisory committees might adjust curriculum to then keep up with the current needs within our existing programs.
That'd be called fine-tuning?
A little bit of fine-tuning. Yeah, okay. And so that happens over time. Manufacturing technology still does the old crank-it-out type of make-your-parts, but they now have the 3D printers. They now have robotics. They're bringing in everything that discipline is going in the direction it's needed. We're starting to bring in that into our current curriculum and teaching it.
So tool and die has a whole different definition.
It has. Yes, it does.
Yeah, I would imagine so. What about the basics?
We still have the basics. If you're talking basics as far as wood shop, hand tools to automotive technician, those, even though there's technology that's come into those professions, you're definitely learning hand tools first in our wood shop classes. We're still doing hand tools on cabinetry and also CNC machines for cabinetry. So we still try and teach basics ground up to whatever the industry is going to need when these students step out into the employer shops. They could have a whole array of things as well.
Now, one of the things that, at least talking to my buds, that they lament about is commitment to the job. Either getting it done or getting it done right and on time. You know, pride of authorship is what I reference, but I mean, it's all kind of that same continuum. But showing up on time, showing up sober, are those things that are commonly discussed? Are they presumed that they exist? How does some of those really fundamental things that you wouldn't think you would need to talk about.
They talk about them. We don't necessarily have a class specific to that, but all of our faculty talk about those skill sets that are needed. Aside from your technical knowledge or your educational knowledge, what are those skill sets that are going to get you the interview? What are the skill sets that are going to get you to maintain your job through any probationary period? So the term is called soft skills, which a lot of people are like,
yeah,
they're just work skills, but we do talk about it. And our faculty have advisory committees. So every discipline has an advisory committee where they bring the industry experts in. And that's discussed at the ones I've sat in on. I hear it all the time.
So it is a common thread.
Very common thread, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Customer service skills. It's
yes.
Oh yeah, being able to talk to people without an attitude is kind of fun too. Yes.
Even talking to them, talking to your
customer. Eye contact, things like that. Yeah. How does the school do the regional? Marla, you'd said something about it has to be justified. Okay, you got the police academy. It's up. It's humming. It's a regional. Let's say you want to bring in a fire academy. I mean, it's something that we talked about here for a long time, over and over, multiple administrations. Okay, you decided you wanted to explore that. How do you justify? How do you do the research? How do you know that this is something, not the pencils out, but something that you'd be allowed to do based on those standards that you alluded to earlier?
You look at jobs regionally. You look at who else in the closer community college systems have those degrees or have those programs. Are you going to compete against each other? Are you going to have one or two graduating classes that will then flood every job out there, and every graduating class after that now doesn't have a job to go to?
Or leaves the state.
Yeah. So you look at things to make sure. You don't want to have all these programs at the closest things and then overwhelm the industry.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:34. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marla Gleave and Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Marla, the concept of regionalism to me sounds so logical. Now, you overlay that with the educational model in California. Logic isn't one of those things. It tends to be a word that leaps out first time. So how do they coordinate the tech stuff, offerings, classes, throughout the state so that there's enough, not too many, but it's also so somebody from L.A. doesn't have to go to, let's say, Shasta, because that's the only one in the entire state system that teaches the stuff, or you got 58 folks based on a per population grid in Southern California, and you got one in Northeast, one in Northwest, and a couple in the Bay Area.
So they take the 113 community colleges and they broke us off into regions. And so each region has their own consortia. So you make up, you know, the deans and different people from each of the colleges are then your representative on your regional consortia. And we meet, you know, between phone calls and in person throughout the course of an academic year. We have some type of a monthly conversation, and you bring your curriculum thoughts and proposals to the consortia, and things are vetted there. So with our region, you know, we're looking at Shasta, Feather River, Lassen. A lot of times we aren't going to compete with the same workforce needs, except when you get into maybe fire, you get into wildland fire, because a lot of those are regional jobs anyway. But if you look at nursing, dental assisting, automotive, rarely do we say no to each other. Where there starts to get some more conversation is if...
I love that. More conversation.
More conversation is, say, you get a business...
Discussion.
Yes. Yeah, a business program or CIS, and all of a sudden they want to put those courses online. Then that becomes a bigger conversation, because now you could be competing for the same student through online education.
Yeah, I ask you about the virtual education stuff, that it's a big battlefield in the K-12. got to believe it's a big battlefield. Well, I mean, you hear University of Phoenix and some of the others that are national ones that are doing it. Well, that's going to be overlaying everybody. Does everybody do everything that way, or are they still trying to limit who does what where?
Some of our online, we call them hybrid, where because we're dealing with, you know, ripping a computer apart and learning how to put it back together, and we're doing cybersecurity, we do some of the lecture portion online, but we need the students to come into the classroom, into the labs, and get their hands dirty and learn how to do it on hand.
The tactile part of it.
The tactile part still needs to happen. And so there's certain disciplines that you won't be online with. It'd be hard to do automotive education online.
I think farming would be tough to do.
Farming would be tough online. Yeah. So, you know, you have to look at what is the ultimate goal of the education with that student, and then what fits totally online, what fits hybrid, what stays within your traditional lab setting.
Here's a weird thought. I mean, if we want to blow the whole model up here, wouldn't it make sense to have all lectures, all classes done online and all labs at the campus? Give you more time to do the lab stuff.
In some of the hybrid stuff, that's what
is that what they do?
What they like. It's hard with like if you look at our manufacturing tech or our auto programs, they're pretty much lecturing and then they're moving right into labs. And so those classes are like 4-hour chunks.
Okay.
And so they're connected in that way.
I was thinking like chemistry, math, English. I mean, all subject matter. Maybe not PE, but to be able to do something like that, so you get a team of lecturers that really know what they're doing, and then the lab breakouts that are more specific to those communities. That'll give me something to talk to Keith about. what is the biggest concern right now about this portion of post-high school education?
Oh, the biggest concern.
Or if you got two or three, that's right. Okay.
Right now, the state's flooding career and technical education with money. So we've gone from saying we need money, to now we're getting it and trying to have decisions made to ensure that money is meeting legislative intent. And so that's the concern now. As a legislator said, okay, California, here's $200 million devoted to career and technical education. But we want to see metrics move in enrollments increasing. We want to see metrics move in second and fourth quarter earnings on your students. We want to see metrics move in completion rates. We want to see metrics move in career tech ed transfers.
So are these standards different than, and I'll say, the academic side of the campus? Or are these bringing up the vocational to the academic levels?
What's happening is we're getting a specific set of money that has outcomes-based connections to it. The transfer side of the house, we've always looked at transfer rates. In fact, that's one thing we're doing a task force on over the summer, is to look at our transfer rates across the district. But this is the first time the legislature has committed money to a specific area and said, but we want to see these things. And the second and fourth quarter earnings, those takes time. We have to train they have to get their jobs, students have to survey back. So you can't meet those metrics in 1 year. And so we're working on, with the proposals we're doing with some of our money that we received, how do we project that out and how are we going to meet our metrics? So those are the discussions and the challenges right now we're facing, is we're elated to have the money, but with money comes
responsibilities, yes.
And the legislature's going to hold the state system accountable for that money.
The legislature or the state education board?
The legislature.
Interesting that they're jumping in.
They put the money together and then the governor, you know, approved it within his budget. But the legislature themselves put in some of these metrics. And as there's been a few things that were not, you know, we appreciate the money, but they didn't have the people that were grounds on. So we're actually going back to the legislature, we as in the state career tech Administrator Association. We're going back to the legislature and saying, you know, you need to give us more time on these second and fourth quarter metrics. And can we delay out reporting some of those over time? They were wanting to give us this money and see these metrics in 3 years.
What about job placement? Is that in there?
Is that in there? There's things in there on looking at establishing some career centers to help students understand resumes, interview skills,
Let me restate. Job placement in the areas where this new money is going to be applied, so we know that it's not philosophical, but people are actually getting jobs.
I think that's where they're talking about the second quarter and fourth quarter metrics.
That's what they were getting at?
That's what they're getting at, is they're getting employed. We also have what we call skill builders, where they can come back, someone already employed in the field, and they're coming back to take some more classes to get retrained. Say they haven't taken a class and the technology's changed, they need to come back and get retrained so they can
Technology changes?
They can bring that back to their current employer.
Oh my, I'm going to have to figure that one out all by myself. KINS, News and Information Times, 844.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marla Gleave and Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Marla, as far as enrollment, you know, that's kind of the theme, so to speak, right now, as you're looking into the summertime or in the fall, are the classes that are taught dynamic? Do they change year to year? Is it something people can put in and ask for areas of emphasis? How do you fine-tune and adjust the classes, or is that purely on the faculties?
We call them course sequences. So when we look at our two-year degrees within CTE, we set out a course sequence so that a student can enter in, and the goal is completion for that degree within 2 years. Now, when we call degree, we're not just talking our technical courses, we're also talking the GE side, so they can leave with an Associate of Science. So depending on where they fall within those GE courses, it might take an extra semester here and there depending on math, science, or whatever. But for our true sequence of our core courses, we map those out over a four-semester time frame. And then we have certificates, and those can be achieved, some of them within a year, depending, again, when they're offered within their sequence.
And I'm sure if somebody has information, they can figure out who to call.
Yes.
That's Marla, not yes. Marty. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.